Greetings, comrades, and welcome to the Eastern Border. If I sound a bit off, well, yeah. It will sound really funny, but I got into a bit of an accident here in Netherlands. Well, I was invited to go to a birthday party on the beach, and you know, after surviving the war in Ukraine without getting wounded, yeah, beach party games did me in. I broke my arm here. That was really silly. We just were 30-year-old men jumping around in sacks, and I fell down in one of these events, and you know, my friend here just fell on my arm. It was a really, really stupid accident. Quite painful, though. I posted pictures about this on Facebook and Twitter about how my fingers were pulled, and yeah, doesn't feel really good. Making episodes is a bit harder, but hey, we're still doing our best. So, what has happened these few days? Well, for starters, Medvedev, the good old guy Dimon, the old prime minister of Russia, and also an ex-president of Russia, but we don't really count that because, yeah, his presidency is just a side note. He was really ruled over by Putin anyways. But he's a person that can state his opinions now and then. And he stated in kind of an interview to a site, Vzglyad.ru, well, that apparently he declared the plans that the Poles have announced the division of Ukraine. He basically accused Poland of its aggressive intentions as regards of Ukraine, that the Polish people want to assault and grab the western parts of Ukraine. Now, that's an interesting narrative, because that's the thing that also Igor Girkin has stated that he's afraid of a lot. Or he's afraid of that the Poles could actually just enter and provide, well, they wouldn't fight Russians, but they could provide some sort of assistance in organizing security and block posts, so that could also free up some Ukrainian forces. Now, obviously, kind of this goal of this action was to disguise the Kremlin's actions and discrediting Western support, just because Poland has been very active in resolving this conflict and, you know, helping Ukraine. And, yeah, also it was just a plan for internal public, because, well, when Medvedev states that Poland wants to invade Ukraine, and he still remains silent about Russia's current ongoing attempts to seize Ukrainian territories. So that's kind of interesting. I think that, in a way, you can say that it's also probable that Medvedev, the former Russian president, during whose reign the Russians attacked Georgia, he might actually be also kind of unaware that in relations between, you know, neighbors, there could be some things other than, you know, shelling and hatred or something. But I don't think he kind of works into this whole narrative thing of actually being capable of diplomacy. Because, you know, it's kind of like he could have might as well just gone one step further and claimed that, oh no, it's not Russia invading Ukraine, it's Poland. It's a bit weird. Kind of interesting enough. But besides this, we have other weird things. Because I've gotten some news that in the occupied Russian territories, Russia is kind of trying to restore both the Russian Empire and the Soviet Union simultaneously. Russia is now implanting a new propaganda symbolism, trying to simultaneously revive both of these things to kind of squeeze out Ukraine as an independent state actor and just to maybe confuse people who live there, because this is happening especially in Kherson, but like everywhere, they have just this wave of propaganda. They are operating over there in medieval models of governance. They're now basically spewing out things, and kind of majority of Ukrainian citizens are highly mobile and have experience of working and living and traveling in other countries, so that's pretty good. Because these guys are just like showing on in Kherson how this was a torrid province and how Kherson also always had belonged to the Mother Russia. And in this whole situation is that they used this grandmother with a flag to show their propaganda how this official things happened, you know. Because images of an elderly woman holding this red Soviet flag along with the ominous letters Z and V have become symbols of the Russian invasion of Ukraine. However, when their propaganda failed, it turned out that the lady had just gone out with the Soviet flag to calm down the Russians, who had now by now looted everything in their house, and now she's in the Ukrainian hospital and the Ukrainian side is helping them. And now she curses the Russians, who have built a statue of her even and are portraying her and her in their propaganda. Although that has failed massively, because currently in the texts in the newspapers in Kherson, they state how that was always a part of Russian Empire, and at the same time use this whole Soviet imagery. I think Russian propaganda has finally lost it to a point where they can't even be coherent themselves, which is just silly. However, there's also some sad news, because other of these guys from the occupied territories haven't been so lucky. See, as iNews have stated, and that spread out through Telegram networks, because these guys, iNews.co.uk, they have done an investigation with their own sources inside Russia, and apparently they have found out that thousands of Ukrainians have been sent to remote camps up to 6,000 kilometers from their homes, as officials, Russian officials, follow Kremlin orders to disperse them across Russia. These guys include also survivors from the port city of Mariupol, like where the Azovstal plant is located. And these guys, the investigators from the iNews.co.uk, identified 66 camps in a network of former Soviet sanitariums and other sites and regions, including Siberia, the Caucasus, the Arctic Circle, and the Far East. And Russians are just basically have grabbed them and sent them away. A source told the investigation group, quote, "The state treats them as a labor force, as objects, moving them around without taking care of what they need. The state is unable to look after them. They are vulnerable and need help." And, Moscow had ordered towns and cities across Russia to prepare for the arrival of nearly 100,000 refugees. And Russia now claims that it has evacuated 1 million people from the war zone. Well, what can I say? Seems like something of a gulag thing is happening. Evidence is also proven to this by Associate Director for Europe and Central Asia at Human Rights Watch, and she told journalists that, quote, "There is ample evidence that thousands of Ukrainians were taken to Russia under duress, that people are only given the choice to stay under increasingly heavy shelling or to re-enter the territory of an occupying power. It really does constitute forced transfer under international humanitarian law. And this is just ridiculous, because this just means that the tragedies really will not stop." And, if you think about it, if it's truly for 100,000 people, then they claim in their analysis that with an average of 162 people in each camp, Russia could need about 6,000 camps to house the total number of people it claims to have crossed the border. There are people who are trying to help, but this is a bit strange, because all these camps and some of them are in Kamchatka, where temperatures fall to minus 40 degrees Celsius. Yeah, when this war ends, I definitely know that story of these guys and their deportations is going to be one of the bigger stories to come out of all this situation. And meanwhile, we also have something a bit better going on. And like I said, I'm really sorry about my tone tonight. I wanted to do all the news, but it's the painkillers and everything. I'll get better when I get home and when my trauma stops hurting that much. But some things are just urgent. See, the thing is, we've spoken a lot about Kadyrov on this show. He and his personal guards, Kadyrovtsi, well, they are TikTok warriors. They're showing off how they are basically super competent in storming the buildings, and I've spoken about them a lot before, but in general they are continuing to be more of a burden than anything else. They are involved in massacres of civilians. They're obviously playing a populist game, and then some of them got blown up on TikTok. Kadyrov is not a pleasant person, and even Putin doesn't like to deal with him. And it's pretty, pretty ridiculous. And it seems to me that Moscow, and like Kadyrov wanted to participate in the war with his own private army, just to basically get some good PR for Chechnya for him. But Moscow thinks at this point that, quite reasonably, that Kadyrov's attitudes and behavior, and sometimes he's just zugging the thread, sometimes they're just doing terrorist acts, they're not even fighting, and they are becoming quite destructive in the context of the Russian-Ukrainian war. And sources around Putin state that leader of Chechnya, the general thought is now that he needs to take care of his own region and not of any conquests because, well, he's managed to do way, way worse than anyone has expected while showing off and being utterly useless. So now even Moscow wants to put everything a bit back because this is just TikTok and nothing else. And you see, Kadyrov especially tried to leave his mark in Mariupol, announcing the capture of the city. In total, right now, he's managed to do that 25 times. And currently, it's obvious that Chechnya, where he rules, has become too small for such a managerial pure genius. So Kadyrov now claims nothing less than the role of chief of all the occupied territories. But however, Moscow managed to step in first despite Kadyrov's crazy announcements and yet another video where he claimed that he deserves all of this and that he's going to rule over this. Sergei Kiryenko has already basically been stated to rule over Mariupol with Moscow's approval. So Kadyrov was left without a reward, which is kind of bizarre. And you know what? Kadyrov also recently acquired all this agricultural equipment, all the tractors and whatever stolen from Ukraine, which then were blocked then. So now they're just useless chunks of metal, which is also quite weird. This is an interesting thing because Kadyrov very openly shows his loyalty to Putin, but that only works as long as he gets paid. So there is a quite possibility that there may be some differences brewing in this whole affair. And sadly, still waiting more news about exactly what's happening on the front. I'll get my arm rested and then I'll be back with more news and information. Please support us on Patreon. That's important. And please help us by clicking the donate button on theeasternwar.lv/. Well, there's the donate button over there. You can become a patron there too. And of course, donate to Ukrainian charities. My favorite one is comebackalive.ua. And I will definitely sound better next time. And right now, more than ever, до свидания, товарищи. And yeah, happiness is mandatory. Even when your arm hurts, блять.